News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 10th of July, Anno Domini 2004, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And we'd like to wish a very happy birthday, belated birthday to George Eastman. George, you never return my calls anymore. You don't write. I don't know what's going on, but happy birthday anyway. We'd like to say that the man who put Rochester even farther on the map than it was. I've been astounded at the number of things that started in Rochester. Do you know the R.J. Reynolds Tobacco Company was in Rochester?
Yep.
Stuff like that fascinates me.
French's mustard.
If you really want to learn a lot about Rochester, believe it or not, they have a great tour over at Mount Hope Cemetery.
All the famous people that are buried here?
Famous people and inventors. They've got one coming up for inventors and things that are...
The marshmallow was invented here.
Well...
The machine gun was invented here. Air conditioning was invented
Mustard just had their birthday, and it originated here in Rochester. I mean...
Jell-O is in the area.
Yeah. It's still, in this area. But one interesting fact that I learned at Mount Hope Cemetery, did you know there are more people buried in that cemetery than live in the city of Rochester?
Wow.
You drive
the dead outnumber the living by a significant
margin.
Well,
they're saying
that's true in general, yes.
Just saying,
yes, thank you so much.
Within the city, not, all Monroe County, just within the city. I mean, I was fascinated. I've been going there a couple times for a couple of different
And oddly quarters. Enough, they vote every year.
many of them do, but I'm bummed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Try the veal. But, it is very interesting. Folks might want to check that out. I mean, the history that you can learn by going to the cemetery.
Yes,
exactly. Especially the moonlight tours they do on Friday the 13th.
Right. All right, we're going to go to the news now. Now that we've shown our city pride, we're going to go to the news. We'll start with Steve.
We've had some very interesting product announcements in the Apple world over the last couple of weeks, since I wasn't here last week. The convention was really, really nice. Thank you guys for teasing at me. Well, it's slowly moving away from Star Trek because the Star Trek actors are retiring. They just announced that James Doohan...
How much longer can they wheel them up on stage?
Yeah, James Doohan retired from conventions this year, and they just announced that he's got Alzheimer's. So that's pretty sad. We did actually have Walter Koenig from Classic Trek. He was actually the only Star Trek guest. We had several guests from Stargate, several from Farscape, and really, really interesting convention. It's one of the largest fan-run conventions on the East Coast in Toronto every July. Last few years, it's been over 4th of July weekend, which, it's annoying for us, but their Canada Day was this weekend, too, so they could celebrate Canada Day. But a really neat convention. But we had missed some of the Apple news, and one of the most stunning announcements came out of the Worldwide Developer Conference, and that was the 30-inch Cinema HD display from Apple. 30-inch flat panel LCD screen, gorgeous, gorgeous screen, very, very thin bezel. The bezel's only like an inch around it, so you're getting this huge amount of screen space. 2,500 pixels by 1,600 pixels, over 4 million pixels on screen.
I got to tell you, I went to Apple's website and I watched the webcast.
Yeah, you can watch the webcast now over QuickTime.
Aside from the fact that it was very much like a cult happening, it was a cult I wanted to join.
Yeah.
You think to yourself, fine, it's just a bunch of people hyping their product. We see that. We hear it all the time. But it's more than that. It's people who believe in their product. It's phenomenal just to watch it.
This conference was specifically for Apple developers, the people that write the program. So it was a little geekier and techier than most. But it was a really neat neat keynote. And from everyone that's seen the 30-inch, they say the pictures don't do it justice. It's just amazing. There are so many pixels on screen that no current video card can drive it. 2500 by 1600 pixels. So it needs the new NVIDIA GeForce 6800 Ultra video card, which basically is two DVI connectors on a single port. So it takes two video cards to drive this much screen space. Just absolutely amazing. The other very annoying news, actually, is that supplies of the iMac, the flat panel iMac, have dried up. You cannot find them anywhere. And the initial reason we were given is because all the schools did their purchasing at the end of June, so they can have all the whole summer to get their new labs put together. But now it appears, and Apple is sort of pre-announcing on their website, that they've stopped taking orders for the current iMac because there's a new iMac line coming in September. And they had hoped it would have been ready by now when they stopped production of the old iMac. So it's sort of a pre-announcement from Apple, which is very unusual. Companies don't like to pre-announce products that aren't available because everyone stops buying the current one. But the fact that they're announcing an all-new iMac line in September implies that it's a different case design. Otherwise, they just ramp production back up again. And so all the rumors are flying around the Internet that it's going to be a G5-based iMac. But the problem with that is the huge heat dissipation issues that the G5 processor has. The latest 2.5 gigahertz tower has a liquid cooling system in it because it's so hot. So a lot of rumors flying about that. And then the last big thing that's going to be happening probably this week is that the iTunes Music Store is going to cross 100 million songs sold. And it is the largest music legal downloading music store in the world. And Apple has announced over the last 5 million sales that every 100,000th sale gets a free iPod. Well, we've crossed 99 million this morning, so we're going to get into the 100 million sometime this week. The person who buys the 100 millionth song is going to get a free 17-inch PowerBook that Dave is playing with at the moment.
This is cool.
Retail value about $3,000, a 40-gig iPod, which is about $500, and 10,000 free songs on the iTunes Music Store.
Yipe!
So, $13,000-$14,000 cash prize, or cash and product prize for the 100 millionth song. To get around some of the state lottery laws, you don't have to actually purchase a song to win. If you go to the iTunes Music Store and tell a friend, there's a button where you can tell a friend about a neat new song that you've heard. There's a tell a friend link on the contest rules. So if you tell a friend about the contest, that will enter you in the contest. So we've actually been seeing a sort of a lull in the number of songs that are sold until it gets right up into that, going to tick over the next 100 million. The next 100,000, then everyone starts furiously buying so they can get into that that range. And on Apple's main website at apple.com, they have a countdown clock that refreshes itself. So right now they're at 99,023,553. So everyone, Windows 2000, Windows XP, Mac OS X, you can download iTunes for free and sign up for the iTunes Music Store.
Cool. All right, Dave.
All right, two things. One, I wish I had grabbed the article. AMD came out with a new chip, mainly for servers. And the chip is starting out at about...
it was in one of these.
I thought got so many papers here. But it's starting out at around, $3,500.
For just the CPU.
Just for the CPU, and it basically has eight processors on one chip. It's going to be a phenomenal.
Super whiz bang.
Yep. Memorex has now come out, coming out with a new 16X dual-layer burner, a DVD burner. It will burn at 16X speed for the first layer, then it slows down to 2.4 to do, the dual speed. But the advantage of having a dual-layer burner is that you can now shove 8.5 gigabytes instead of the 4.7 on just a single burner. So it gives you a little versatility there as far as what you want to back up. I mean, DVD.
Or more video.
Yeah. Well, DVD is becoming almost, a better way to back up data. For replacing the old tape machines. I mean,
and even CDs. We were back to the floppy days where it took 20 floppies to back up your drive. Now it's taking 10, 20 CDs to back up your drive.
And you use a product like NovaStore Backup, and you can sit there and set up a schedule. I've got that on my machine, and it just, at night, on a particular day that I want it to, it just erases my CDRW, and rewrites all my backup files every, I think I've got it set for Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so I don't lose anything there. Another interesting thing for you folks, if you haven't heard about it, it's called Blackberries. And basically, it's on the Bluetooth phenomena. And Boston police are now at Logan Airport carrying these PDAs that are using Blackberries to do background checks on people and cars coming into Logan Airport. So they can literally be anywhere around in the airport, and if they see somebody suspicious that they want to check on with this technology, they've got that database right at their fingertips. It's not, you know, radioing in and say, hey, can you check on this guy today? They can literally, right there in their hands, pull it up, the information, and check on that individual or that particular vehicle. You know, if it might be parked there too long or a little suspicious or whatever.
Cool. All right. On the Microsoft front, we have a couple more flaws in their stuff. Internet Explorer, there was another flaw found on the 7th, which is what, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yep.
So you need to update. There is a fix available. The flaw was Wednesday, I guess, and the flaw came out yesterday. So that's pretty good. There are three flaws that are out. They've fixed one of them, so that's nice. And if you're still using Internet Explorer, good luck. You can fix one out of three. If you're using Microsoft Word...
33% is usually good.
Right? Right? Outlook 2000 and Outlook 2003 allow you to execute remote web pages in an HTML email message, and that behavior happens regardless of whatever security zone setting you have. So if you're using Outlook 2000 or 2003 and somebody sends you an email with one of these specially crafted HTML commands in them, whether you open it or just preview it, your system is now owned.
Not by you.
And not any longer by you. So if you're using Outlook or Outlook 2000 or Outlook 2003, apparently good luck. There's no fix available yet. There was a flaw found in the Mozilla and Firefox browsers. This flaw was found late Thursday night, and it basically lets people run programs on your system. By early Friday morning, about 4 hours later, it was fixed. You can download the new version of Mozilla or Firefox and Thunderbird, as a matter of fact, as well. They're all updated. You should download them immediately and run them. For those of you who are looking forward to Windows XP Service Pack 2, if you are a web developer, there are some things you need to know about your website for anybody who goes to it from XP Service Pack 2, XP, and they have Service Pack 2 on it. If you use any ActiveX controls on your website, they won't work anymore. If your website allows users to download files, that won't work anymore. If your website uses pop-up windows, they don't work anymore. If your website depends on Microsoft Java virtual machine code, that doesn't work anymore. If you have browser window restrictions or moving the browser window around or stuff like that, that won't work anymore. So basically, you're now going to be just like everybody else, and there's no reason to all the cool things that are in front page things, you know, all the ActiveX controls like counting the number of people who come to your site and all of those things, they're just going to stop working. So basically, everybody's going to be like they're running a Mozilla or Netscape type browser, and that's actually makes sense because that kind of keeps it safe. And we were talking about Blackberries earlier. You've all, I think, heard of Bluetooth, which is a technology that lets you, when you come, you can bring your phone close to your laptop or whatever, and they'll sync up and all that stuff. Well, unfortunately, there's a new thing going on with Bluetooth called Bluetooth ripping. People go to places where lots of other people who have these types of devices go, coffee shops, airports, that sort of place. And basically, they use a laptop or a handheld to signal the Bluetooth phone to sync the address book. They get all the names, phone numbers, and other information, like notes and email, that you have in your phone. So if indeed your phone does Bluetooth, you might want to turn it off, which kind of takes away the whole point of Bluetooth. Yeah.
Well,
but
turn it on when you want to use it.
Turn it on when you want to use it, but just remember to turn it off when you don't want to use it.
There's someone using your cell phone to dial the internet and racking up your cell phone bill.
Exactly. Yeah. That can happen, too. Bluetooth is a great concept and a very bad technology, simply because there just aren't a lot of controls for security. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
What do you... They would rather do their show in a chat room. It's Soundbites with Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. And we're going to go to the phones. And we're going to talk to Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
I'm running Windows 98 and I'm having a problem with Java.
Yeah.
So I reinstalled it, and just before the installation process completes, I get an error that keeps popping up that says, verify that the specified paths are valid, and it's referring to transforms. And I don't know what that is.
Are you using Sen's version of Java or Microsoft?
Well, I tried Mozilla, too, and it says I need a plug-in. When I plug it in, it's try to download that. I keep getting the error. It says, error applying transforms. Verify that the specified paths are valid.
So you're not actually installing Java. You're trying to install Mozilla.
I tried accessing... I like playing card games on the internet. I guess it takes an applet or something.
The question is, error applying transforms?
Yes. Ask me to verify that the specified paths are correct.
Yeah, it sounds like something in the Java itself is bad, and you need to download and install Java.
I've tried that twice.
From Sun or from Microsoft?
From Sun.
Hmm.
Do you have, by any chance, have a Microsoft IntelliPoint mouse?
No. No, it was working fine up until about a day or two ago. And I just can't...
What changed? Have you installed any other new software or anything else?
Nope. Not at all. No one knows what transforms are.
Now, you say it was working all right a couple days ago?
Yes, sir.
What you can do is if you get out to boot and get to a DOS prompt and get to the C prompt, and if you say scan reg, that's scanreg space /restore, what it'll do is pull up the previous, I think, three or four good known boots.
Okay.
You can select to, you know, back a few days when this, you know, it had that picture of when the system was working okay.
Okay.
Select that and reboot. And that should put it back to where the applets when they were working correctly.
That's add reg space /restore.
Scan reg. SCANREG space /restore.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, give that a shot. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, something obviously screwed up in the Java somewhere, but
not
installing again is tough.
See, the problem is he's got 98, and there aren't any tools for that. To go really,
that's why I say the scan registry.
Play in the registry, yeah. It's a registry error problem with Java. Microsoft has registered something, and well,
maybe,
anyway,
maybe
there are ways you can fix that in XP.
Might have got an update.
Yeah. Our next caller is Rick from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What do you guys know about Blink? It's a
sure.
You know what I'm talking about?
In Mozilla or Firefox?
Well, no, it's in Internet Explorer. It I'm running the most current AdAware and AdWatch, and I've scanned and removed it several times, and for a short time it works fine, but then it keeps coming back. and I'm not sure how it's getting back or how to eliminate
it. What is it that you're running?
It's called, what am I running? Adaware?
Yeah, the Adaware. And what keeps popping up? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
It's a browser hijack called
okay.
About Blank.
Yeah. What you might want to do is if you go to the Adaware website,
yeah.
They have a patch out there, and it's called the PL2VX Fix.
Okay, hold on one. I'm sorry.
Yeah, PL2VX patch. And what it is you download that and put that patch, and it repairs a number of hijackers.
Okay.
Although about:blank is a valid Internet Explorer website. It's when you cancel loading a page and it loads a blank page.
Okay, right. And it's come up blank. But what I'm saying is if I've got my set to a whatever, you know, my personalized Yahoo or whatever, it takes it over and, you know, you get those warnings that pop up and says that, you know, your address is being monitored, this and that,
yeah.
Then this about blank. Now, my question, what I don't understand is why AdWatch and, you know, isn't catching it why it's allowing it to...
Well, like I say, there's so many...
Well, there's also a brand new version of Adaware.
Okay, what's the 60181 or something
like
that?
Yeah, 6181.
Yeah, this is a purchased version that I upgrade constantly. So, I mean, it should be the most current.
Yeah. But like I say,
well, I don't think it's not catching it. I think it's not... The problem is not that it's not catching. The problem is you're getting reinfected.
Yeah, and like I say, there is, I'm going to it right now, the Adaware site.
You said P as in Paul?
Yeah.
L2?
Well, if you go to the Adaware site, they've got a list there of plugins.
Okay.
And it's the VX2 cleaner.
Yeah, the okay. VX2 is a horribly, horribly nasty spyware that's really hard to get rid of.
And if you get this plugin, which is free...
Uh-huh.
You just click on that VX2 cleaner, and it'll take you to that page, and you can download the cleaner, install it, and run it.
And I'll have the link on our link list shortly.
Okay.
Give that a shot.
It'll be on your link at your website?
Yep.
Yeah, we're Steve's getting ready to put it up right now.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
One of the...
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Got a computer question? Call the boys at 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. Our next caller is Bill from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bill. What's your question?
How you guys doing today?
We're doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'd be better if I can get rid of this. Every time we boot up our computer, mm-hmm. we keep getting a System 32 display. It comes up and it's got all these tiny folders in it. And how do I eliminate that? I know you're not supposed to get rid of the thing, but how do I hide this?
What operating system are you running?
You mean what?
98?
XP? Windows XP?
And every time it opens, it comes up fine, but there's a folder open called System 32.
Yes, sir.
And once you close it, everything works great.
Well, you got to let all the little folders on the inside open up because it just keeps, you X out of it, and it just keeps opening until every single folder's opened up.
That's not good.
What antivirus program are you running?
I got Stopzilla, and
no.
I got Norton Antivirus.
Okay.
Is it up to date, though?
Yeah.
In other words, if you go into it, I hate to ask this, but I'll say, oh, yeah, I've been running it, and I've seen three people this week that swear their antivirus was running. We checked the data files, and one was from 2001, and another one was from 2002.
You know, when you go to the main Norton screen, it will tell you the date of your definitions, and you don't want it to be more than a day or two old.
Okay.
Seven at the max.
What am I looking at?
If you start up
Irish definitions?
Right.
Yep.
7704.
That's good.
That's good.
All right, you running Adaware and SpyBot?
Adaware and Spybot?
Yeah.
Well, let's start with the whole security tangle.
Well, Stinger doesn't need to run.
Well, yeah, I think you should, just to be on the safe
side. No, because that's only going to, that whole list that's in Stinger is already in his Norton. If he's 7704, he can skip the Stinger.
You know what? It doesn't hurt to run it.
Yeah.
Go to securitytango.com.
Okay.
And there's a button there called Let's Dance. And it'll show you a list of steps you need to take to help assure that your system is clean.
And one key thing, when you run the Adaware and Spybot, before you actually run the program, in both programs there's a place that you can say, check for updates. Do it. Because lately they've been coming out with updates weekly, if not every other day.
Not every other day. But start at the beginning, go all the way to the end, and do not skip a step. You can't dance a tango if you skip the steps.
Okay.
We gotta get some tango music.
We do need tango music.
Rob, we need tango music.
Work on that, will you?
It says Let's Dance.
Yeah. And go there, click that button, and follow right along, download Stinger, and run it. And always download a fresh copy of Stinger. Run it, then do the steps one after the other, just to be on the safe side. And make sure you do all of that before you move on.
Or what was that 62 Let's Dance?
Okay, so read everything and just follow all the directions.
You got it.
Yeah, I see references to this folder popping up from a toolbar called My Bar, Weather On, System Tray. These little menu search, My Web Search is another big spy program. What happens is that people download little utilities they think are useful, you know, to put a weather forecast or a little temperature thing in their system tray. Most of those install tons of spyware behind the real program.
Right.
It tells you it's going to do this in the license that no one ever reads.
Right.
Customized toolbars
and
in your web
browser.
And
that's what makes it legal for them to do it, because you've agreed to it.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one thing you need to be aware of.
Okay.
When you do this, those types of programs, those little extra tool this and that and cute this and that, Bonzi Buddy, Comet Cursor, they stop working. Because you've taken away their spyware.
Oh, okay.
So you need to be aware that that's going to happen.
Okay.
Which
yeah,
is
my
good.
Daughters get my daughters are going to have to live with that. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, and that's the problem, particularly if you give them the rights to install stuff.
Yeah, things like Kazaa and LimeWire and Morpheus, they all install tons of spyware.
Yeah. Oh, lots of it. There ain't no such thing as a free lunch.
No.
So what you need to do, if you can, in XP, you can set it up, you know, so that you can... everybody gets their own login, and you can set their login so that they are not able to install software. And that's a good idea. We're going to take a break back in just a couple of minutes. After the news. We're going to hear news. It's going to be very exciting. Weather, sports, everything. We're going to be back. No sports? We don't need sports. We don't need sports.
But Rob's wonderful weather.
Rob's going to read the weather, and there's nothing better than that, is there? And the news. He's going to read the news and the weather.
One other thing, though.
You'll get a couple minutes,
is this the
Rob.
First week you've done the show?
What are we doing? Is this? Oh, my gosh, there's a microphone in front of me. Where did
that come from? Stole mine.
Can you guess what country sends out the most spam in a day?
Sri Lanka.
No, I'll let you know right after you know.
After the break. On Soundbites on 1180 WHAL.
America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Lipton. Give it a minute.
Holy cow! You know, you let a guy DJ, at some point in his life, he just can't get it out.
Well, we were talking during the news. We're trying to find a dance kind of thing for the security thing.
I need a tango. Does this sound like a tango to you?
This is the closest thing we have, I'm sorry.
as soon as you get into the lyrics, it will say, let's dance.
Well, oh, my golly.
All right.
Well, this is good.
Well, that's actually pretty good. Let's dance.
Coming at you, Rob.
That's right.
Let's dance to the song they're playing on the radio, the Security Tango.
All right, if you had to guess, what country do you think sends out the most spam?
Switzerland.
China.
Rap?
I'd probably have to say China, too.
You're both right. 73.5% of all the spam comes out of China.
Because they're going to take somebody's business money no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, exactly right.
73.5% of such sites is where all your spam is coming from, folks. So if you want to block out that country code, you probably eliminate quite a bit of yours.
What is that country code?
CH, isn't it?
CH. So if you put that in there for blocking filters from, you know, where you...
Except for me, I have online students, distance learning, online learning students in China.
But you can only add them as to filter through.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do.
But for the most part, for the average person, I mean, if they filter out China, they're 73%.
Yeah.
Other spam isn't going to go through.
The spam is probably going to come from a .com company domain, not .ch.
Right.
A few of them. There was also a story this week about the MPAA getting in on the downloading service now.
MPAA.
Yeah, the RIAA has been pushing.
No, don't make me get the YMCA.
No.
Don't make me.
Don't even think of going there.
All right.
The RIAA has been in the news for several years about music downloading. Well, now the MPAA is getting in on movie downloading. With more and more people having broadband, a recent study they commissioned showed that 24% of respondents had downloaded a movie online, often before the movie is ever released in the theater. In other countries, it's even worse. In Korea, where broadband penetration is at 98% of the population, more than half, 58% of the people, said they have downloaded a movie online. And it used to be someone would sneak into a theater with a camcorder and just hold it up and take a picture. So you had people's heads, you had the coughing, terrible audio. Nowadays, people are getting digital copies sometimes before it even gets to the theater. There's a distribution company somewhere that makes 2,000 copies of this movie to send out to every theater.
Well, I went to see, a while ago, I went to see Chronicles of Riddick, which was being shown digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And as the movie started and said it was being shown digitally, I thought to myself, well, I wonder how many people I know already have this. Mm-hmm. But I'm having a little trouble with the crocodile tears of the MPAA. Movies are making more money than ever before. I find it hard to go along with their arguments. If they were losing money...
Well, they are estimating they're losing $3 billion a year to piracy. But that, including music or movie downloading from peer-to-peer networks, that's also pirate CDs and DVDs. And going back to China, there's a huge business coming out of China.
Yes.
Where you can get counterfeit DVDs, and they look exactly right. In fact, sometimes you're even counterfeiting the jewel cases and the poster inserts.
Right.
It's not just somebody burned a DVD anymore.
It's a real business now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of real businesses, I think I've got the online stream up and running again. Heaven knows what I'm streaming, but whatever it is, it's something is being streamed, whatever it might happen to be. So
do not attempt to.
If somebody wants to call in and let me know what
control.
The heck I'm actually sending out here, I'd love to know. It seems to be actually going along. Hold on, be quiet 1 second. Yeah, it seems to be following the pattern of our speech, but who knows? At any rate, I want to talk before we get back to the phones, which we will do eventually. I want to talk a little bit about what goes on our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like me to remind you. Every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about Internet Explorer with all of the bugs that have been found recently in it. I read a news article that said people are losing faith in it. So very much. And the question was, my faith in Internet Explorer is, and the choices were solid as ever, shaken but not stirred, flagging fast, and what faith? 60% of you said what faith, followed by flagging fast, shaken but not stirred, and 24 Microsoft employees said solid as ever. Although somebody did point out that solid as ever could also mean I never had any faith in it to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and I still don't. But that was last week's poll. This week's poll, I found some real, there were some really interesting comments all over the press. Some of them were in Linux press, and you would expect that, but one of them, a couple of them were on investment sites and things like that, talking about problems at Microsoft and what their biggest challenge is right now. Here's one from an investor site called Has Microsoft Peaked? And the point, of course, is that although Microsoft has boatloads of cash on their $58 billion in cash on their balance sheet, and a market share that just keeps going up, the problem is growth. A company doesn't live on its cash reserves, and it doesn't live on its market share. It lives on growth. And Microsoft has basically stopped growing, hasn't really grown over the last 18 months.
That was some of the posters that were up around the WWDC, is that Microsoft, get your photocopiers ready, as Apple was showing off their next version of the OS.
Right. But what they're saying, well, no, see, I'm not talking about product. I'm talking about where are they going to sell new products.
Everyone's already got it.
They have 98%. Penetration into the market, and you know, 2% growth is just not going to do them any good. They've got to grow faster and better. And so this person is saying that, you know, the stock is no longer a real good buy, and that's one person's opinion. I'm not saying that that's it, but that made me look around, and there was another investor's website that was talking about the threats to Microsoft, and certainly one of them is Linux and things like that. But there are other things, like here's somebody who says. The software assurance program, nobody wants it. The packaging model that they use for their software business is, and I quote, broken. And here's another one that talks
about.
I was about,
assuming they'd be coming out with great new software every few months.
Mm-hmm.
Which
they haven't. People bought a software assurance thing, which basically said, pay us a lot of money, and all our upgrades are free for 2 years. And then there were no upgrades. For 2 years, and people are a little porked off, I got to say. And on Thursday, in an online discussion, Microsoft engineers faced off against end users. That's really the only way you can put it. They were angry. They were angry at everything that's been going on at Microsoft. And, man,
do they still work there?
It was ugly. It was ugly. You know, they tried to put a good face on it, but if you read the transcript, it's... it's ugly. And here's another one that says, you know, Microsoft's worst enemy is their own success. They just don't have anywhere left to go. So that got me to thinking. I'm not saying these people are right or wrong or whatever, but it gave me an opportunity to put up another brain dead poll. And this one is, what is Microsoft's biggest challenge? And the choices are innovation, because, you know, it's easy to take shots at the big guy. So I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, putting the shots out here. Innovation. Microsoft never innovates anymore. The OS is irrelevant. You know, the reality is, look, you buy a brand new machine, you take it out of the box, you plug in the monitor, you plug in the keyboard, and you plug in the mouse, and then you plug in the power cord. What's the next thing you do? Nope. You plug in your network connection, and then you turn it on. And what's the first thing you do when it's turned on? You make sure your email's working. Then you make sure your browser's working. Then maybe you play, you know, solitaire or something. But the point is, they're not so much computers as network extensions these days. People are more interested in getting to the net than in getting, you know, making sure that they're running Windows.
And that's why thin clients like WebTV are almost making a comeback.
That's exactly
all they
right.
do is the internet.
But it doesn't matter whether you're running, why I say the OS is irrelevant. If what you use the system for is writing email and surfing the web and maybe writing a couple of letters here and there, it doesn't matter whether you're using Windows or the Mac or Linux. It simply doesn't matter in terms of those things.
Yeah, the hotel we were at in Toronto had a keyboard for the television to log into your mail.
See?
It was only it was $14 for 24 hours, which isn't bad.
It isn't bad at all.
We went downstairs to their business office where you could actually plug in your computer to the internet. It was 60 cents a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
With a $10 minimum.
See? So I'm saying maybe the OS is irrelevant. Or another choice is they're too restrictive, they have too many problems, or there's nowhere left for them to grow. And right now, on the site itself, we have 91 votes. And the leader so far, 53% of you, say too many problems, followed by innovation, nowhere left to grow. So I'll be interested in hearing what you have to say about this. I think it's an interesting concept and an interesting poll. Once you've made your vote, you'll see below it a little yellow box that leads you to my website, AskNick.com.
That's AskNick.com.
And you can leave an opinion on the site so far. This is a big one. We've got 27 opinions so far. Some of them are pretty interesting. And I'd like to know what you have to say about that at soundbites.org. We'll be... you psychos. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Robert Bates, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham's. 50,000 watts. Huh. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
But you have to cover my intro, don't you?
You found to do it, didn't you?
All right, I'd personally like to apologize to every single person listening to this station at this moment. You haven't got a tango, but you have that.
Well, we have six some odd music stations here. Why do we have a tango?
Okay. All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. We have, there are four of us, and so...
You have to do it. Ready? It's your turn. Go.
Me?
Yeah. Anybody watching the webcam is going to get a surprise right
now. All right,
this song is really, really big at the Toronto Trek Convention, and everyone jumps out on the dance floor, and I just have to laugh hysterically and take pictures.
There's a certain... My daughter would be dancing.
Glad we're on radio.
Yeah, me too. Believe me, we do have faces for radio. Before we get back to the floor, we're going to do that in just a minute. If those of you are waiting, please be patient a little bit, moment longer. I found on the net a list of BOFH excuses. All system administrators prefer to be, aspire to become BOFHs. BOFH stands for Illegitimate Operator from Heck. And here are some of the excuses that they come up with when your machine's not working. Electromagnetic radiation from satellite debris. Static from nylon underwear. Magnetic interference from your money. Dry joints on the cable plug. Tectonic stress. Here's one of my favorites. Bad ether in the cables.
That is good.
It's Ethernet, isn't it? So
yeah.
It's got to be just bad ether in the cables.
Don't sniff the cable.
Because Bill Gates is a Jehovah's Witness, and so nothing can work on St. Swithin's Day.
Which is
oh, where's that Bill Gates comic I gave you?
Oh, yeah, it's in here somewhere.
The Joy of Tech this week.
The ring needs another token. Change in Earth's rotation. But here's my absolute favorite one. Improperly oriented keyboard. It's close enough for you to reach. Okay, we're going to move on. We'll talk about this later. We're going to move on now and talk to Ron from Rochester, New York, who has patiently been waiting on the line. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
Yeah, hi, guys. Good show. Thanks. Just a quick comment about what Steve was saying before about stealing movies. They are now equipping some of the ushers with a night vision camera so they can pick out the people doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, they caught a guy taping Spider-Man.
Yeah.
A kid. Yeah. And arrested him.
Yeah, the camcorders are so tiny these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I got a problem here. I got the Windows 98 SC with a Pentium 1, and for some reason the computer does not want to shut down. When you go to shut down, it comes back. It goes through the whole rigmarole, and then it ends up with it is now safe to shut your computer down.
At which point it restarts?
Pardon me?
At which point it restarts?
Or does it just sit there on that shutdown screen?
It just sits there, and it doesn't do anything.
All right, have you tried?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Do you have a laptop or a desktop?
A desktop.
and it stops at the, it's not safe to shut down.
Right, it goes through the whole thing of shutting down.
That's kind of
right. And then the CPU just stays on.
Well, some machines will then power off after that.
Yeah.
But a lot of them won't.
Right.
Right, did this one used to?
Pentium 1.
Or did it always stay on that screen?
It always stays on. It just stays on the screen.
Did it ever power itself down after that?
Yes. No.
No.
Then this one probably can't.
Very many desktops, particularly older ones like this, simply just didn't have the capability to shut themselves down.
Does your computer have a mechanical power switch on the front of it?
Not that I know of.
It's an electronic push button?
No, it does not.
It's got to have one or the other, electronic or mechanical.
Where would it be?
Wherever you turn the computer on with.
Oh, no, I don't see anything there.
Okay. It really sounds to me like this is the way this one is designed to work.
It doesn't have the energy-saving feature
right.
in it.
There's nothing you can get online and download anything?
It would require a new motherboard.
It was usually the computers that had mechanical switches that it couldn't mechanically turn it off.
Right.
When they went to electronic switches, it could.
Yeah.
Because, see, what it
is... But a P1 is too old for that.
Right, because, see, the newer systems, the switch comes off the power supply and feeds to the motherboard, and then that shuts it down. Your system, you just have a switch that goes right to the power supply, versus the where now the power supply is actually fed to the motherboard. So when you hit that button, it's going through the... hitting that switch on the motherboard to then turn on the power supply.
Okay.
Whereas before, you hit the button, and it kick-started the power supply, which then would power up the motherboard.
Yeah, you could usually feel the mechanical switch locking into place.
Yeah, you hear a click.
And then you unlock, and it sticks out all the way again when it's off.
Right.
Okay. One of my computers, I also have Windows 98, but I accidentally deleted Windows Update in the Start menu. Is there any way to bring it back?
Yeah, you just deleted the shortcut. What's the actual... program name of the Windows Update .exe file? Update, maybe?
Well, all you've got to do is start Internet Explorer if it goes up to Tools, and it's Windows Update is right in there.
Yeah,
right.
You can also go to windowsupdate.microsoft.com, and that's the straight web page.
I believe it's called WUPDMGR for Windows Update Manager.
Okay.
I believe. I know it's that on XP. I really don't remember what it is on 98.
All right, I'll give it a look.
Okie doke.
All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. It's true. You know, a lot of the older machines just don't have the features
that
new machines
need.
Yeah,
the newer ones have the energy saving and everything else that you can get into that will shut down.
Yep. Our next caller is Doug from Gates, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a question. My father bought a new Dell laptop.
It's his father. It's not him.
Not him.
I have a friend.
A friend.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there's no A drive on it.
Right.
And he had an old compact laptop, and he's trying to... download his files. So what he did is he picked up the 128 megabyte memory stick that you plug in, and when you plug it into his Dell, it comes up on the screen and acknowledges that is an A drive. When he punches it into his old compact, which has the A drive on it, it doesn't do anything.
It should come up as a D or an E.
No, not necessarily. No. What is the old system running?
The old system, I think, is ME. The new one is XP.
Yeah.
He's trying to get rid of it, Dave. Give him a break. He's trying to get rid of it.
Need to install the USB driver and the memory stick driver on the old computer.
And how do you do that, then?
From the disk that it came with.
Yeah, because the newer Dells, what they've done is they've turned, they're not including floppies anymore.
Right.
So they turn it off.
Right.
Well, it's not a floppy drive. It's a memory
thumb drive.
It's a USB thumb drive.
Right. And the problem is it's not showing up on the old machine, which probably means there are no drivers on the old machine.
Or it's turned off in the BIOS.
Right.
It could be USB is turned off in the BIOS.
ME is very good about seeing the memory stick.
So when you put this memory stick into the old system,
it should show up actually in my computer.
As like a D or an E or an F.
And all that stuff.
Right. A removable drive.
And this was over the phone. They said it didn't. When they punched on my computer.
Then what may well be happening is that it's turned off in the BIOS.
Yeah, USB.
a lot of times you'll find that the USB is turned off because if you're not using it or your operating system doesn't work with it,
right.
It saves an IRQ and a whole bunch of other good things.
Okay, now how do I turn it on?
Well, when you start the machine, there'll be something that lets you get into the BIOS, F2, delete, something along that line, to enter setup, it's usually called. That's the BIOS.
Okay.
And then in there, you just have to look around, depending on what BIOS you have. It could be on any one of six pages. You look around and see where... it says USB, and it'll probably say off, and you want to just activate.
Disabled, and you want to enable.
And if the thumb drive came with any installation disks, that you need to make sure they run those and install
the thumb drive didn't come with really anything.
Yeah, mostly they don't nowadays because most of the newer operating systems.
Yeah, XP handles it by default.
XP should recognize it.
Well, XP has no trouble when you punch it in, but there's nothing we can put on it because we weren't able to load anything on the
XP
stick.
Doesn't need the drivers, nor should ME.
Right. So try that. Make sure that the USB is turned on in the BIOS. That's probably where the problem is.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's tough to do long-distance stuff.
Diagnostic.
It's very hard, but I suspect that's what the problem is. Our next caller is Sean from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Sean. What's your question?
Yes. I have a Dell computer.
Yes.
And I'm running Windows XP on it.
Okay.
Yesterday... I was on it, and I was getting the normal, little hiccups that gets it freezes up every now and then. So I just logged it off and shut down. And this morning I went to get back on it, and, Windows XP has a log on, and you put your password in.
Right.
And I put my password in, and it says it's loading the files. Then I saw my wallpaper show up, but all of a sudden it went back to the log on screen and said shutting down. And it went back to the prompt to put my password in. And I cannot log on at all. I've tried everything.
Have you tried going in safe mode?
Yep, I tried going in safe mode and asked for a password there too. And it starts to log out and load up the desktop, and then it goes right back to saying shutting down. The computer never actually shuts down, it goes right back to the login screen.
It's going through a recycling.
Right.
How many users do you have on this logon thing?
Just one other. My daughter has one on there. I tried going on hers, and hers does the same thing.
Same thing.
When you go into safe mode, can you get on as administrator? Because when you go into safe mode, it'll show usually administrator and the other user.
Right. Yep, that's what I did. I'm on administrator as well, and it wouldn't let me.
Windows repair install, maybe?
Yeah. Just reinstall Windows XP over XP.
Okay, that's a simple process, just get the disk out and...
But you have to read the screens carefully. There's the first option that says repair.
Ignore that one.
Right, it says repair using recovery console. You want to skip that one.
Oh, okay.
The second one says repair reinstall.
And that's the one you want to select.
Right. If you use the first install option, it actually forgets all of the programs you have installed and all your user data and is as if it was a brand new machine.
And they're on two separate screens, so you have to guess.
Your first screen you'll get is whether to install or repair console. You just say install. It'll go to the next screen. You got to do the agreement, and you'll see another screen. Down at the bottom, it'll say install or repair. The second time you see something that mentions repair, that's when you want to select repair, and what it'll do is install XP over XP, keeping all your Windows settings, programs and all that stuff, no problem.
Okay, good.
Do you think I got
a virus, or is that what happened? Or?
Well, we don't know until you get that far. Once you do, you dance the security tango.
Yeah.
Okay, I heard you guys talking about that.
Okie doke.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next caller, Bob from Geneva, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Well, I got two little problems. You were talking about changing Mozilla, that they got a new update.
Yeah.
And I got to take the old Mozilla out. How do I save my bookmarks?
No, you don't have to take the old one out. You just install the new one, and it'll update the bookmarks for you.
It'll go right over the top of it.
Yep, not a problem. The bookmarks are actually saved somewhere else, and so they're not affected by a reinstall.
Okay, and the second quick question I got, I have a computer at home, and the power supply has a real radio frequency problem. It drives you guys off the air, and it drives the neighbor's radio off the air.
Mm-hmm.
But if I unplug the power supply, it goes away.
Well, yeah.
because the machine's off now.
And when you plug it back in, it starts right back up again. Is that something going wrong with the power supply, or are some of them noisier than others?
Well, they shouldn't be that noisy.
Yeah, no.
That sounds like something's wrong somewhere, and it's probably in the power supply, but is it possible that it's the monitor?
No, because everything's unplugged. It's just because I have the monitor unplugged, the AC.
So even with all of that unplugged, you turn on the computer and there you are.
As soon as you put that plug in the back of the computer and not even touch the computer.
I'm thinking something's not right with that power supply anymore.
Yeah. Okay. I'd replace it. They're cheap enough.
Yeah.
I checked the voltages, and the voltages seem to be all right.
Yeah, but you can get bearings.
That's the flyback transformer, usually.
You know what I mean? They used to have good bearings in those things. But, and nowadays they're made so cheap and inexpensive, it's like, you know, it's just cheaper to...
Is it better to get like a $100 power supply compared to a 19 or?
No, you can spend around 30 to 50 bucks, and you can get like a 300 watt power supply that's very quiet.
And that's enough for all the junk that I got in there, the three hard drives and
Well, one thing you can do is look at the power supply that's in there; it'll tell you what its wattage is. You don't want to go lower, but you can certainly go higher.
So it's 420, but is that true or not?
Then that's where you want to go.
Okay, then.
Well, how many? Yeah, that sounds like a lot for a machine.
Well,
you have a lot of bays.
Yes, that you know, I can go lower.
I got everything plugged in the bays that I can plug in.
Yeah, so it sounds like you need that.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a Raid Max or whatever it is case, and it comes with its own power supply. And
right. All you need is the same power supply. They're pretty much interchangeable.
Okay. Yeah, you can take out the old one, go over to a local store and say, here's what I need to replace. Give me one just like this. Or if it's more powerful.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller, Kit, from Atlanta, New York. Where is Atlanta, New York, Kit?
Down near Naples.
Oh!
Cool.
Not too far.
When's the grape festival?
Not to the fall. I don't know the exact date yet.
I always have to get my wife a elderberry pie, and they're hard to find.
Oh, yeah, the end of September, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, September, October, somewhere.
Yeah, it's a fall thing. So what's your problem here, Kit?
Well, I think I'm having a problem with some spyware.
Uh-oh.
And my husband listens to you guys all the time, and he's learned a lot from you, so he wanted me to call.
Well,
he's
sure.
At work for now.
Was he chicken? Can't call us himself?
No, he doesn't. He's out on the road, so there's no way he can call in. But the problem that we seem to be getting is we get this little tiny box when we open up our homepage, and we have Net Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little tiny box. It's like about an inch wide by an inch and a half long, and the top line constantly changes from HTTP to AB to MI, and it just constantly changing, but it makes it very slow for the homepage to come up. And then when the homepage finally does come up, the box disappears, and at the bottom it says done but with error on page. And if I click on that, it says that there's a error code, line 1, character 1, then it says error. It says DMTKC is null or not in the object.
All right, listen, Kim, hang on the line. God knows you've been on long enough. Well, hang on the line. We've got to take a commercial break. We'll come back and answer this question afterwards, okay? Stay on the line. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and, Mina Francesco on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wham! So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And you are listening to Soundbites. We're back to the phones. We are talking to Kit from Atlanta, Georgia, who gets an error message. Atlanta, New York. Yeah, we haven't got that much skip on the signal at this moment. Kit, who's in Atlanta, New York, down in Grape Country there. Is getting a box that comes up on her system when she goes to her homepage, and it says it's done, but there were errors on the page. And if you look at the errors, it's a script problem, line 1, character 1.
Right.
What it sounds like is happening. What are you using as a browser?
As a browser,
yeah. Internet Explorer,
Windows 98.
Right. The web browser would be something like Internet Explorer.
Right.
Netscape.
Okay. What's likely happening is that when you open your homepage, because you're with Net Zero,
right,
they add an ad, an advertisement to mm-hmm. your page.
Okay.
That advertisement is not working on your machine. There's a problem with the JavaScript that runs the ad.
Okay.
What version of IE are you running? Is it 6 or 5?
excuse me, I think it's 6.
Did it come with the machine or did you upgrade?
No, it came with it.
You might want to check for updates.
It's probably an old version. If you run Windows Update, which you should be doing regularly.
Right, which I did the other
day. One of the
things
that you can do is update your browser. And you're running what, Windows 98?
Yes.
Did you say?
Yes.
I seem to have lost all contact with
them. Hello?
Yeah, there we go.
I'm still here.
Yeah, you know, everybody else was hearing you. It was me. Somehow my earpiece was a little messed up. I couldn't hear you. I heard way over there.
Help me.
Yeah, you might want to check for the updates there. And then if that's not, if it is all up to date, then you might want to go to the Sun website and re-download the JavaScript and maybe update that.
Sun website?
Yeah, the Sun website.
But I would start with the Windows update and update to the latest version of Internet Explorer.
Okay. I ran the Windows update the other day.
Well, no, I'm sorry. This is different. You need to actually go to Windows. You need to actually go to the Microsoft website.
Yeah. Okay.
And download the latest version of Internet Explorer.
All right. Yeah, because when we get this little box up,
yeah,
it gets taken off if I use the AdAware and the SpyBot. And, like, the next time I use my computer, it doesn't come on. But then the second or third time I use the computer, it'll be back up.
One thing else
that's part of Net Zero, requiring you to watch their ads to get the cheaper Internet.
Right, yes. And what's happening is SpyBot and AdAware remove the ad mm-hmm. from your system. And then, of course, the next time you log in, it comes right back again. So the time after that, it shows.
Okay.
That's
the price you're paying for the price you're paying.
Because it's getting to be a pain having to run it every single time. And it changes the registry.
Yes, mm-hmm. Sure it would.
The home page goes from Net Zero to being about blank.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hold on.
That's the about blank malware we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's why you need to run
the VX2 plug-in
to
AdAware. The VX2
plug-in to AdAware.
Okay.
We talked about that earlier. You can find it on their website, but we have a link, do we?
Yeah.
Yes.
On our website, if you go to soundbites.org, that's
okay.
Bites with a Y, of course, and go down on the right, you'll see, I heard a website on your show, ...
Okay.
And that will lead you to another page where there's an alphabetical list and a chronological list. So up near the top of that list will be the website you want for the VX2 fix.
Okay.
And run that, and that should fix your problem.
Yep.
Okay.
See how she doesn't tell us?
Well, I'm trying. Yep. I'm new to these things.
Well, she's filling in for her husband who gave her, in defense of her.
Oh, please, she's six times smarter than her husband.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's got to get out of him what's going wrong.
Yeah, and here's a guy who's going to sleep with one eye open for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. Or she's going to make him call in the next
time. That's right.
Fix your own problem.
Yeah, he works every Saturday and can't.
Well, good. So you got a free Saturday. Sit around, put your feet up, and relax.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Thanks, Kit.
Okay, well, thank you very much. You were a lot of fun.
Thank you. We don't do marriage counseling. Our next caller is Dave from Greece, New York. Welcome, Dave. What's your question?
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. You need that song by Chris Montez. Let's
don't
dance.
Get him started on songs.
What song's that, Dave?
Chris Montez, Let's Dance.
Chris Montez? Sure, now he's looking for it. Okay, Dave, that's it. Cut him off. All right, what's your question?
Hey, two questions. The second one is real quick and easy.
The first question I've got
is when I go to add and remove programs in my list, I've got an item called PC Cillin.
Mm-hmm.
And I did have that installed at one time, but I had since then gotten rid of it. I've got Norton Antivirus on now. It's nowhere on my computer except in that list of add and remove programs.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
And when I go to uninstall, it says it's unable to locate the installation log file.
Right, because it's really not there. The problem is that there are a lot of bad programmers out there. And whoever wrote the removal thing simply neglected to remove it from the list. What operating system are you running?
98.
I don't know.
Yeah, you need to find out. There's Reg cleaners for Windows 98, if you can still find them online.
Yeah, they're also.
I ran that already.
There also used to be a program called Tweak UI.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it for every version of Windows. I don't know that you'll find the 98 version any longer, but that let you go in and change, add, remove.
But, and there's also a utility that I remember running that looks at your registry and compares that to add, remove, and says, oh, you don't have this program anymore. I'll remove it from your add, remove.
What's that called?
I don't remember the name of it offhand. It's probably on our link list somewhere.
Yeah
somewhere.
One of the registry tweakers
we'll
or
try
editors.
To find it, but we have to take a break now, Dave. Got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Benner.
I'm Steve Wright.
And I'm Rob Linton.
And let's dance. That's the Chris Montez, Let's Dance. That's way more than enough of that. Thanks. We're back.
That's the tune I was trying to think of.
And there it is.
I was right, though. I said the 60s.
It's from a Sonja Henie movie. And frighteningly, Steve found it.
I found it, yeah. Well, thanks to that previous caller at who told it. A 1942 Sonja Henie movie, and it was a hit for Chris Montez again in 1966.
Yes.
And now a hit right here on this show.
Yes.
You heard it the first time again here on this show, ladies and gentlemen. Our next caller is George from Rochester, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Hello there.
Hi.
On that malware.
Yeah.
There was a thread on Tech Republic. I think it started Wednesday about that one.
Yeah.
It's called about.blank.com. Mm-hmm.
Oh, good.
And...
Yeah, because about colon blank is a valid Internet Explorer command.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you go about dot blank dot com. But AdAware sometimes will get it. What it is, there's a DLL that it downloads that keeps changing its name.
Yeah, that's what we were mentioning off the air. It's polymorphic. Every time you delete one, it changed its name and came back again.
Yep.
And that's why it's such a hard thing to get rid of.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
you're
and
absolutely
it,
right.
The AdAware VX2 remover tool lists a lot of that and some of the explanations and some pretty good instructions on how to remove it completely.
Okay.
Yeah. One of the cool things, I don't know if it works in Internet Explorer, but it works in Firefox. I can say about colon plugins,
mm-hmm.
and it shows me all the plugins that are in my system.
There you go.
In the Firefox plugins. Now, George, you got a question?
Nope, I just wanted to bring that up, and also about Tweak UI is still available.
Oh, good.
I'm not at my computer, but there's a website called, I think it's oldprograms.com.
Oh, cool.
And he's got all kinds of old versions, like if you want Zone Aware version 1 or 2, you can still get it, that kind of stuff. He's got all these things archived. And I think it's oldprograms.com, but I'm not at my computer to double.
It's not old programs or program.
We'll figure it out.
We'll find it.
There's
one out there, and it's a neat little site.
Cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. We're going to check that out. Before we go back to the phones, very quickly, you should know that the New York State Cybersecurity Alert Indicator is at guarded today because of all the compromised websites where you go and get hurt. So our next caller is Doug from Canandaigua, New York. Welcome, Doug. What's your question?
Well, that about blank must be going around. I have a couple of questions for you. When I run the AdAware and I go through the whole security tango, what happens, it seems like, after I run all that and I go to shut my machine down, it locks at the point where it says saving settings, and it won't let me shut down. I have to go in and, you know, hold the... off button and until the machine shuts down.
What OS?
Pardon?
What operating system?
Oh, I'm sorry, XP?
Sounds like you still got an applet that thinks it's still running.
Yeah, it sounds like something from the background is still running. Have you tried shutting down everything in the system tray and everything on the system itself?
The only thing that it shows that it's running is my Norton Then there's a remove hardware icon.
Yeah. Right.
And that's it. Oh, well, the volume. I'm sorry, the volume button.
Do us a favor. If you go to the task manager,
yes,
write down all the programs that are there and send us an email, and we'll check that out for you. We'll at least take a look at what's possible.
Send it to me at,
soundbites.org.
Dave at soundbites.org.
We got to go. It's been a great show. We want to thank each and every one of you who called in. We want to apologize to everybody to whom we did not get. Please vote in the poll. Please give us your opinion on AskNick.com. That's AskNick.com. And we will be back here at 12:20 next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the utterly incredible Rob DJ Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show ever, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM. Hey.